Well, welcome guys to the Church Alive podcast. So excited you're with us on this journey of faith. Our church exists to reach, teach, and empower people to live free in Christ and transform their world. You might listen to this from afar or close. You may want to check out our website, churchalive.tv, or come visit us sometime. We want to build strong families, strong lives, strong men, strong women. Our theme this year is strengthen, and we just pray that in 2024, God strengthens your life in a unique way. God bless you richly as you lean in to His Word and His presence.
You doing good? How many men excited for 252? That's well, yeah, you like my t-shirt? Just trying to represent a little bit. So is Magno and some others. You know, I will say about 252, one of the special things is not just a men's weekend, not just a men's conference. The rite of passage is one of the most significant things we do. It's honestly a great honor for us to provide an environment where fathers get to literally bless their sons and say, you're no longer a young boy. You're actually journeying into this season of a young man from the age of 12 on up. 13 on up is really the ideal age. But then we ask the men to go through once. We even ask them to go through it again. But then on the third time they go through it, they'll actually run with the other men as another symbol and sign that, hey, things are changing, things are growing, and I'm becoming part of the tribe. Does that sound good? Stay standing just for a moment. I just want to talk to you around Believe and Build for a second, as Steve did a great job just on talking about that. But I want to give you some perspective. Since 2018, Church Alive is 6 times larger than it was. We were about 370 to 400 people. We were meeting in what was the Thrive Room, what is now the Thrive Room. That's where we met. And that was just really 5-6 years ago. We've been growing as a church 48% per year, year upon year. And that's with COVID in the middle, which was, how many know that was a weird time? Last Sunday, over 2,300 people in church. Two of our services are already in overflow. The space that we rent today, if you don't know this, we rent this facility only on a Sunday. Our production team shows up at 4, other teams show up at 6, other teams show up at 7 in the morning, and we set up and tear down, and then a team actually pulls it all down after the 4th service. And but we are grateful for this place. It's a blessing to meet in this place. God spoke to us that we would be in this place, and it is encouraging to be here. But if you go to our other location, our Transform groups, on Monday night, we need more space for our men. We need more space for our ladies. It's busting at the seams. It really is. We have over 340 men showing up on a Monday night. We've got tons, so many women showing up on a Tuesday night. Our youth is growing. And just to give you a bit of context, that's where we are as a church. And so we've been praying, and our real estate team has been looking for a building. And I just want to give you a bit of backstory. I've shown some of you this before, but I know there's often new people, and maybe you miss a service and therefore you can miss someone as the story. But our church began in the basement of Miriam's parents' house in Rutherford back in the day. Don't have a picture of that one. Then we moved and started actually in, there we go, the Good Shepherd Church. We did services there for 2.5 years. Then we moved to the Mighty Elks Lodge. And I call it Mighty for a reason, because it was mighty. It smelt mighty good too. Had to Febreze it and so forth. And we grew there to about 80 people or so. And then we moved to the Williams Center. And here's a picture of our old Thrive space. Where's our Thrive? This is where we currently do Thrive. 113 seats. And we met there for about 3 years. And then obviously here's the King's Court. And man, when we got there, we're like, wow, this is way bigger. And then we were 2 services, and then we realized we had to go to 3, and then we had to go to 4. Praise God. And obviously now we're right here in the Williams Center, and at the next service, there's a bit of space in this service because people like to sleep in on Sunday morning. But you guys, the early ones, you guys, the eager ones, you guys are the dedicated. You guys are the consistent. You guys are the disciplined. And so that's where we are. And our next 2 services, literally, we will need overflow for that. But here's our goal. Our goal is to raise over $2 million as a deposit on our own facility, seating well over 1,000 people with adequate foyer, kids, youth, transform group needs. And this would be a picture of the potential building that we are believing God for. And so at the end of my message today, everyone will have an opportunity to give a portion of their commitment or their full commitment, however you've been preparing, to the Believe and Build offering. So I want to say this before I read a passage of scripture. If our church does what it did in the last 6 years, here's what I absolutely know: we are on the edge of something very significant. If our church just grew like it did in the last 5 years and just repeated itself, we are on the edge of something very significant. If it slowed down and only grew by 10% over the next 10 years, we're a church of 5,000 people. So what I'm saying is we're on the edge of something significant, and we want to believe God for something significant. I don't apologize for believing God for more. I don't apologize for believing God for souls and disciples and leaders. I think we've got enough people apologizing for what the church should do. I think we need to be bold in it, courageous in it, strong in it. We need to be clear. We're heaven's answer. It's just the truth. We are God's answer. We are Jesus' house. We are the cornerstone. We are the rock. It is what the house of the living God is. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So I pray that all of us, you would just join us in something significant as we give at the end of this service and worship at the end of this service. And as in every service, maybe you're new today and maybe you haven't yet met Christ today, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that today and meet Jesus and have your sins forgiven and have abundant life and eternal life and the Holy Spirit in your world. And so we'll do that. But here's a passage of scripture, 2 Kings chapter 13. The title of my message is Beat the Drum. Someone say, beat the drum. High five your neighbor, say, beat the drum. Like that. Come on, high five three more people. Sounded good. High five them like you just won the championship. Say, beat the drum, beat the drum. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. You still okay? You're standing up for a little while? Getting your exercise? Just making sure. Sometime before the king of king Jehoash, Elisha the prophet was very sick and about to die. Jehoash went in and stood beside him crying. He said, "Master, what will Israel's chariots and cavalry be able to do without you?" "Grab a bow and some arrows," Elisha said, "and hold them in your hand." So Jehoash grabbed the bow and the arrows and held them. Elisha placed his hand on the king's hand and said, "Open the windows facing east." When it was open, Elisha shouted, "Now shoot." Joash shot an arrow, and Elisha said, "That arrow is a sign that the Lord will help you completely defeat the Syrian army at Aphek." Elisha said, "Pick up the arrows and hit the ground with them." Joash grabbed the arrows and hit the ground three times. Then he stopped. And Elisha became angry with the king and exclaimed, "If you had struck it five or six times, you would completely wipe out the Syrians. Now you'll only defeat them three times." Come on, let's pray together. Father, I thank you for every man, every woman within the sound of my voice. I thank you for the kids in our kids' space today. I thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. I thank you for an opportunity to come around your word, to learn, to glean, to have the Holy Spirit speak to us, to worship, to meet people, to be friendly with people. Father, I thank you for the opportunity, but I thank you for the opportunity, God, to be called your child and be part of your mission. And so I pray of your people now that you would speak to them and guide them and lead them. Pray for every marriage and every home that it'd be stronger, it'd be wiser, it'd be more loving, God. So I ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, why don't we pray this simple prayer? Say, "Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life in your powerful name." And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, praise God, praise God, praise God. Grab your seat. Can we thank our worship team? Thank you, guys. Come on, give them a hand. Let me give you a tiny bit of context on the passage of scripture that I read. Elisha, Elijah is one of the mightiest men of God in the Old Testament. He's the guy that defeats Jezebel and Ahab and calls down fire from heaven. Well, his protege is the man we just read about. His name is Elisha. Elisha actually sees double the miracles that Elijah sees. 14 miracles flow out of his life during his time that are very, very significant. Elisha has this very interesting conversation with the king. The king is Jehoash. Someone say Jehoash. How many of you, that's your middle name? Just checking. Israelites were at war with Syria, and Jehoash looks at Elisha, who's the move of God of the day, and says basically, man, what are we going to do without you? And Elisha gives him this interesting instruction as he's dying, which tells me sometimes you can be struggling but still actually help people. You can be struggling, actually, and still be an answer to someone else's problem. You can actually still be, man, you've got your own issues to deal with, but he still comes and he brings answers. He doesn't say to him, I'll just pray for me. He's like, no, I'm going to come and give you an answer. It's a powerful, powerful illustration of faith. And he says to him, get a bow and arrow and shoot it out the window. And as he does it, for some reason, it's this prophetic sign that they would defeat the Syrians. And then he says this interesting thing. He says, go get three arrows, or go get some arrows and beat it on the ground. And it's this declaration. It's kind of like if you were at war with someone, you'd grab it and you're kind of showing your aggression, and he does it three times. And Elisha looks at him and says, and he gets mad. He's like, man, why didn't you do it five or six times? Because if you had done it more, you actually would have had more. Isn't that interesting that he says, if you had done it more, God would have given you more? Because here's what Elisha knows. Elisha knows that passion and perseverance actually is critical in the kingdom of God. Elisha knows something that his mentor passed to him, Elijah. Listen to James 5, verse 17. Elijah was a human being. This is the mentor to Elisha. Even as we are, he says. He prayed. How'd he pray? How'd he pray? He prayed earnestly. Some translations say he prayed passionately. That it would not rain, it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. What is the Apostle James encouraging the Christians? He's saying, listen, Elisha understood that passion and perseverance are imperative to accomplish God's plan. Passion, perseverance are actually part of the way we accomplish God's plan. Paul echoes the same statement in the famous statement in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but he says, but in everything by prayer and petition. And we often skip that bit because we're like, well, I'd already prayed about it. He says, no, prayer and petition. Well, petition is actually the continual beating of a drum. That's what it is. I think it's Merriam-Webster's definition says this. It's an earnest request. To petition means you're earnest. It means you persevere. It means you're passionate. It means you think that what you're talking about matters to God. Are you with me? Our Lord Jesus Christ put it this way in Matthew 11, verse 12. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, said the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. Let me put it this way. Faith understands that passion and perseverance are imperative to accomplish God's plan. I found this, that the promises of God don't normally just fall upon me. I don't just wake up and all of a sudden, there's the promises of God. Maybe you do. Noah receives an instruction from God, build a boat. How many know God didn't go build the boat? Noah has to go. The boat was not going to build itself. Abraham was told to step out of a land God doesn't make him step. He has to go. He has to persevere. He has to journey. He has to go through a desert place. He has to hide himself under a shade, and he has to go get water, and he has to sweat, and he has to make it work. Jesus told the disciples to go into all the world, which meant this: the gospel wasn't going to go unless they went. Disciples weren't going to be formed unless they formed them. Leaders weren't going to be raised unless they did it. That's why Christians need to get off their rusty dusty. Need to stop sitting on their blessed assurance. Need to stop just sitting in the chair, but understanding, no, I'm not just a pew warmer. When I have the presence of God on my life and I go somewhere, the power of God, the presence of God goes with me, and good things happen, they flow after my life. Can I get a good amen? The people of God carry the work of God. Sometimes sometimes we have cute statements as Christians. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. What if Noah told that to God? Well, God, if you want to build a boat, you build a boat. He says, no, I've assigned you to build the boat. I've assigned you to get your family. I've assigned you to plant the trees. I've assigned you to cut down the trees. I've assigned you to get the beams. I've assigned you to put it together. And as the work of God was happening, guess what? The work of God was happening in him. Because you learn some stuff as you persevere, don't you? You learn some stuff as you pray. You learn some stuff as you read the Bible again and come to church again and give again. You learn some stuff in the process, don't you? What I want to do today is invite you out of small praying. I honestly want to invite you. Perhaps you're new to prayer, new to talking with God, but I've actually found that Christians have been Christians 10 years and 20 years need to be invited out of small praying into a lifetime. And let me say this, a lifetime of praying big, God-sized, God-moving prayers. No one got excited about that. No. That's why I'm preaching to you. Haven't you noticed that sometimes your prayers are small? Small, often self-centered. You're like, Jesus, if you just heal my toe. Got this little tummy ache, Lord, and you spend 4 weeks praying about your little tummy ache. No one's guilty. Over the next month, we're going to be diving into prayers in Scripture. How do you know to pray the will of God? You pray the Word of God. Over this next month, we're going to be preaching through significant prayers in the Scriptures so that we're praying big prayers. We're not praying mamby-pamby, weak, passive, apathetic prayers. We're praying biblical. We're praying godly. We're praying faith-filled prayers. I pray for the rest of your days, as long as you serve Jesus, until you die or he comes back, I pray you're praying big prayers, because we need more Christians praying big prayers. Not just praying big biblical prayers, God-sized prayers that move mountains. Can I get a good amen in this 8:30 service? I thought I'd give you four things I think we should pray for as a church. I've been sharing this with some of our leaders. I've been praying this since the start of our church. And so I had this dawning moment on me recently where I was walking around the church and I was like, why don't I preach about what I've been praying for 19 plus years? The first one we need to pray for is love. Watch how Paul prays for the church. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. I pray that your what? I pray that your love might do what? Abound how much? More and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you might be able to discern what? The best things and the things of the highest value. If Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, what should we pray for? Love. If Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor as you do yourself, what should we pray for? We should pray for love. Paul was praying for the church that their love would abound more and more. That means you're to have an ever-increasing love. But here's the truth. Sometimes you'll actually notice within yourself, you'll notice a bunch of selfishness coming out. Just the front of the room recognize that. Have you ever noticed that sometimes all you're seeing is selfishness come out? Have you noticed sometimes that you're like, man, I'm not filled with love? You know, that's actually a good thing to literally look in the mirror and go, wow, where's the love? So that you recognize that perhaps you're bankrupt in love and you need to seek love and you need to seek God and say, God, baptize me afresh with your love. One of the men of God who was greatly used through the Azusa Street Revival, he was really one of the main preachers of that time. William Seymour was a one-eyed black man. And what they said about him was an interesting comment. They said it was like he was baptized in love. The baptism of the Spirit isn't just the gifts of the Spirit, though it's part of the gifts of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is that you would be filled with love. So when you get in the presence of God, how many know when you get out of worship, you feel a bit more loving? Like, oh, I wasn't liking people, but now I like people again. Hey, funny how that works. I was coming in grumpy, but, oh, look at you. Let's have a little hug. Why should we pray for love? For it is the motivation of the Christian. It is the motivation of the Christian. Romans 10 verse 1, my heart's desire, Paul said. Think of that deep statement, my heart's desire and prayer, both. My heart's desire, he desired. And sometimes you have to look at scripture and realize, man, what is my heart's desire? And if my heart's desire isn't anywhere like soul saved, disciples won, leaders brought, how many know there's a whole lot more that God wants to do in you? See, what's your heart's desire? What are you longing for? Let Paul's example stir all of us to bigger prayers and bigger love. Can a good amen? I got more scriptures on that, but let me keep on moving. Number two, we need to pray for wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. The wisest man to ever live other than Christ was Solomon, though he was wise for a numerous season, and then he lost his wisdom, found it back. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, because you have asked for wisdom, this is God speaking to him in the dream, in governing my people, and haven't asked for a long life or riches for yourself or the defeat of your enemies, I will do what you have asked. He says, I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if, someone say if, this was the challenge for Solomon. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, he says, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. How many need more wisdom? Please say yes. You need wisdom in relationships. You need wisdom raising children. You need wisdom disciplining children. You need wisdom disciplining the types of different kids you have because they have different personalities and they respond in a different way. How many need wisdom in your career? You need wisdom in your career. You need wisdom in college. You need wisdom in relationships. How many know a good wife or a good husband, that'll be a great choice, but the wrong one, woo, that'll cost you. Someone say, give me wisdom. Sometimes you need to date long enough for the chemicals to subside a little bit so that you can see through the hazy eyes and get some wisdom. That wasn't in the notes. That was free. That's for someone watching online. That's no one in this room. No one in this room would ever do that. But which college should I attend? What's my calling? Is my passion, is that a hobby or is that a thing I can turn into something that actually makes me money? You need wisdom. You need wisdom in your health. You need wisdom in leadership decisions, leadership corrections, how you spend your time. You need wisdom. I pray that we're a church of love. I pray that we are a church of wisdom. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5, Uzziah continues. Someone say continue. Continues to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. Watch this now. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Wisdom is not given in one moment and then all of a sudden you don't need God anymore. I've actually found this. Wisdom is given often one decision at a time, but God gives you enough wisdom so that you need to go get wisdom again and you don't get full of yourself, but you've got to go say, God, I lack wisdom. Lord, help me Get wisdom. Why should we pray for wisdom? For through wisdom do we govern life well. We govern life well. Number two, through wisdom do we get the strategy to fulfill the mission. Every church doesn't have the same strategy. Every family doesn't have the same strategy. Do you know what Transform Men is? Transform Men was a strategy from God. It literally was. Our connect groups, we had men connect groups going okay. We had two connect groups. I'd call them a 4 out of 10. That's discouraging if you're leading them. But then when the Lord spoke to my heart, he said, help men win in life. It was just those 5 words. It was like he opened up a door where I saw the strategy of the culture that we needed and the growth culture that we need. And it became a strategy on which we fulfill the mission of this house to build strong men, build strong women, build strong young men, build strong young people. Can I get a good amen? Come on, give the Lord a real hand. Third thing, I want you to pray and keep on praying. Pray for the power of God. Jesus desires the disciples, the apostles, Jesus desires his church to have power. He says, you shall receive power. It was his promise to their life. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you shall be my witnesses. And they received power and they began to affect the modern world, literally change history. And here we see it again in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats. The church is starting to receive persecution. But here's how they pray. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Verse 30, watch this now. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again, and they spoke the word of God with power. Why pray for power? Let me give you a couple of thoughts on this. We need power to live the Christian life. We need power to live the Christian life. It isn't just for ministry. It's actually to live the Christian life, to say no to sin, to oppose the devil, to literally run according to the plan of God. You need power to simply live the Christian life. That's why Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. This isn't a one-time occurrence. This is a regular thing where you and I need to ask, God, fill me again. Lord, let your power be over my life again. The second thing is we need power to be a witness for the kingdom of God. When we speak God's word and in transform groups and across our church and kids ministry and youth ministry and Sundays and whatever avenue, might be in business, maybe in leadership. You need God's power to be on your word so that when it's heard, actually transformation of the heart starts to happen. And it's the power of God sitting on your life that actually gives your word weight. Someone believes it all of a sudden. They're just like, man, I don't know why, but I'm believing that. That's the power of God in someone's life. We need addictions to be broken. We need minds changed. We need hearts healed. We need marriages saved. It's the power of God. We need people getting out of identity confusion into identity clarity. That's the power of God. We need people delivered of things that would oppress them and bind them. Depression needs to go. Those things only happen when the power of God is evident. Can I get a good amen? Why pray these prayers? Why? Love is the motivation of the heart of the mission. Love is the motivation of the heart. Through wisdom do we have the strategy of the mission. And third thing is power to accomplish the mission. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He came to our church probably 3 years ago in Transform. I met him the very first night he was there. He literally looked at me and goes, what is this thing? Well, I was like, well, I began to explain it. And he said, who are you? I said, I'm the pastor. He goes, oh, I didn't know that. He was dropping F-bombs and so forth as we were having a conversation. It was kind of interesting. He had interesting dialect at that time. And then he felt super awkward because he was talking to me. I didn't care. I don't expect people to come in with perfection. Amen. I expect them to come in with mistakes and faults and failures and all kinds of stuff. We're a house of restoration, not a house of perfection. We expect people to come in the way they are, but we expect them to grow and keep on changing. Amen. And so that's really his story. And so the first season of Transform, he was drunk the entire time. I didn't know that. I was like, I didn't even know that happened. I thought people came in like fired up. No, first season, actually might even be the second season. I think he was drunk every night. But he was a functional drunk, which means sometimes you needed it just to operate. It's how you kind of did it. Successful in business and not a mess in his life, but he didn't even know that his wife wanted to leave him. Amen. But now it's not just him, it's his family, now it's his children, now it's his brothers and uncles. Like the family of God is being affected and growing out of one man. What's our church about? One life. But we don't stop there. One life, one family, one generation. We're to impact the area one life at a time. It's never about the numbers, but those numbers represent one person. That one person represents a family. That one person represents a generation. That's why we'll never be a church that says, oh, we're too big. Don't ever say we're too big. No. 3,000 people are saved on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people. And they could have said, well, we're too big. Big is the will of God. Growth is the will of God. Soul saved is the will of God. Discipleship is the will of God. Leadership is the will of God. Can I get a good amen? The fourth thing we need to pray for is land. We need to pray for land. Let me give you a scripture that I've preached on so many times in our church, but just feels very personal to me. Leave your country, your people. Go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. We don't want land for land's sake. We don't want a building for a building's sake. We're believing and praying and giving towards this so that the mission of Jesus is accomplished, and the land and the building is simply the vehicle. It's the vehicle. Can I get a good amen? I want to invite you out of small praying into a lifetime of praying big, God-sized, God-moving prayers. I'm going to have the worship team to come, and I'm going to have the drummer to come. I felt in my heart, see, here's what I believe. I believe in beating the drum. I believe in beating the drum on continuing to pray for love, continuing to pray for wisdom, continuing to pray for power, continuing to pray for land. Why do I believe that? Why, if a church will keep praying for love, if a church will keep praying for wisdom, for power, for land, guess what? They'll leave a legacy. Come on, can you beat the drum for me? I need you to pray for love. I need you to pray for wisdom. I need you to pray for power. I need you to pray for land. What would happen in this house if everyone started praying for love? Everyone started praying for wisdom. Everyone started praying for power. Everyone started praying for land. And we just didn't do it for a day or a week, but we just kept on doing it and kept on doing it and kept on doing it. I believe in beating the drum. Can I get a good amen? Come on, I need some people to start beating the drum for their life, for their family. I need people to start beating the drum. Can I get an amen? What happens when you start beating the drum? There's this echo, there's this ripple. Something starts to shift. You getting that? It's not one prayer. I've been praying for love, wisdom, and power for one time. I've been praying for over 19 years. Woo! Guess what? Until I go to be with Jesus, I reckon I'll be praying for love. I reckon I'll be praying for wisdom. God, give me wisdom how to govern this part of my life. Oh, God, would you pour out your power? Would you heal that one? Would you heal that one? Would cancer go? Would addictions go? Would families be restored? Would things happen? We need the power of God in youth ministry. We need the power of God in kids ministry. We need the power of God in Celebrate Recovery. We need the power of God in Transform Men. We need the power of God in Transform Women. We need the power of God all across this place. People come into the house of God broken and busted, and they don't just need a sermon. They need the power of God. They need the love of God. They need the wisdom of God to govern life well. They need it. They need it. And so we pray for those things. We pray for love. We pray for wisdom. We pray for power. Why? Because it enables us to reach, teach, and empower. That's our mission. That's what we do. We pray for land. Why? So we have land? No. So we accomplish the mission. So we buy the building. God's going to give us a significant portion of land. And $2 million, I believe, will be, you know, this next year or so, will simply be a deposit. For in this area, to probably a $10 million building. That's why I said $2 million plus. Because I want to throw it out to business leaders who know that, hey, there's some people that giving $10 is significant. There's someone else that giving $1 million feels about the same. And so I say those things because I do not apologize for trying to build the things of God. I don't apologize for trying to build the things of God. Let me say this one more time. I feel like we're on the edge of something very significant in our church. If what happens the last 5 years happens again, we're on the edge of something very significant. So we're going to sing a worship song, and then we'll receive the Believe and Build offering for the expansion of our church. And then I'll come back and simply pray over the whole offering. And then if there's people in this place who have not yet received Jesus, I'll pray for that and cover that too. So come on, team. Why don't you guys come, and we're going to sing a worship song. Why don't we get ready to give in this moment? Why don't you take your seat?
For all that are lost, you How faithful you have been to us. Thank you, God. Your grace and love leaves us undone. And every battle you have won. How faithful you have been to us. We give our lives and all we have, we sacrifice. We lay all down to save a life. How faithful you have been. Faithful we will be.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Pray this simple prayer. Father, increase my love. Increase my wisdom. Increase the power of God in my life. I pray today for love, wisdom, and power and land for this house. Would you increase all our lives according to your purpose? Father, I pray over every person right now, every gift, every giver, every heart, every life. I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd speak to them. I pray you'd guide them. I pray you'd provide for them in every single way. Father, would you take these moments and make them significant for eternity? God, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory in this place, I pray. Come on, eyes closed all across this place. Maybe you're in this place today and you've never met Christ. Maybe you're in this place, a first-time guest. And maybe you feel like maybe you grew up in church and just slipped far away from God. Maybe you were five the last time you were in church. It really doesn't matter. Jesus died on a cross. Jesus isn't surprised. Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you. But he died on the cross for you. And he rose from the dead, defeating sin, defeating death, defeating the devil. And he says, those who will call upon my name, I'll never turn away. So in a moment, we're going to pray a simple prayer. And maybe that's you today, that you need to come back to God. Or maybe it's you today, you need to say yes to the God who's already said yes to you. He has an abundant life for you. He asks you to turn to him, to trust in him, to say, Jesus, I'm no longer going to be my own Lord, but I'm going to give lordship over to you. So why don't we pray this simple prayer together? Say, Jesus, thank you for your great love. Today, I turn away from trusting me, following self, to following you. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my very best friend. From this day, help me know you, walk with you, and love others. With eyes closed all across this place. You may be here today and meant business with God. I'm going to ask you to quickly raise your hand, raise it up high all across this place. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else today? Thank you, sir. Ma'am, praise God for you. Praise God for you. That's awesome today. That's awesome. You can put your hand down. Father, thank you for every hand, every heart. Thank you that people are continually coming back to you. Would you plant them in your house, Father? I pray. We honor you in these moments. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Come on, Church Alive, can we celebrate those people who said yes to Christ today? Come on, let's celebrate them. Praise God, praise God. Hey, if you made a decision for Jesus today, we do have a free resource for you called Following Jesus. It'll be at our next steps over here. And also, first time here, second time here, never gone up to our welcome lounge. Go meet some people, get a coffee there in the black box. Near our next steps counter. Go meet some leaders. Other than that, God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you. Have an amazing day.
Dearest Father, I give this letter and melody in worship. My lungs cry out.